Are you encouraged this morning? I trust you are. Coming together, we should be encouraged just by coming together. And we should encourage others to join so they too can be encouraged. We're hoping this will be recorded so we can tell the Sunday school teachers and others who perhaps are not here today for one reason or another to have a listen. And so on our website, we do have some of the sermons that are preached here at Hebron. And so we've been looking at this subject of enlargement. Dave kicked us off with looking at the place of my tent, my territory, my walk. Am I knowing better? My heart. Enlargement in all these areas. My love for others, his church, my effectiveness, my faith, and Jesus. Because our vision, the vision of this church, is Christ. And we must worship Christ and Christ alone. And if we're going to see enlargement, we need to look to Jesus and look through the lens of Jesus to understand what enlargement is all about. So I'm very excited to bring this message to you this morning. It's a message I've shared with our elder. I've shared it with the some who came last Sunday night to leaders and team meeting, and then with the trustees, I shared some of the thoughts here. Three C's, so that you can remember it for the rest of 24, maybe for the rest of your life, because what I'm saying is of eternal value. Father, just help us now to have open hearts and minds that are receptive to the promptings of the Spirit and the Word of God and the work of God here for your glory. Are you ready for the biggest challenge of your life? For those who are listening by recording, there was a big resounding silence. Are you ready for the challenge of your life today? Because if you're not, you might as well go home now, because I'm going to challenge you with something that will shake your life, because God in these days is shaking his church, shaking the world, but shaking the church in the West, because we jolly well need it, because we are asleep to what God is doing in the main. I'm not saying Hebron's asleep, but maybe someone here is asleep. So we need to get out of that repose and become the kind of army God wants us to be. So this is Vision Sunday. So the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I read a book a long time ago with that title, and Jesus is the main thing, isn't it? Christ is the vision. Maybe we might sing in closing, Be Thou My Vision. I thought that was an obvious one to sing today. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. So we're going to give you a clear prophetic vision this morning so that you won't wander. And one version says you won't become a rabble. That's good, isn't it? So we need that. That's the problem wrong with the world at the moment. They haven't got a vision, but we've got a vision, friends, and it's an eternal vision. So Team Hebron, are you ready for this challenge today so that God might work in your heart as a church and in your heart individually? You are a steward. Even if you don't serve on the door, you're a steward. You are a steward of what God has given you, the gifts God has given you, the anointing that God has given you. You are a steward. You have a huge responsibility to make sure you use that gift for the glory of God, because God is building his church and he wants to use you in that work. Three C's I'm going to share with you in regard to enlargement: community, commitment, and celebration. I blame my typist. The verse we have here for last year, this year, it's in my heart. It's been in my heart for 10 years. We built that place because I believe God wants enlargement. We believe God wants enlargement. So let's say it together. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out a home. Spare no expense, for soon you will be bursting at the seams. Come on, folks, we need to get this message from God into our hearts. It's massive. It's a massive thing. We also see, if we can look at the next slide, we've got this beautiful God gave me these thoughts in 2008 when I was driving down a road and I think we were lost. Carol said, let's just go. Let's just go without a map. Let's go. She's crazy, my wife, sometimes, but we did it. And whilst we were going, I was so scared because I thought we could be eaten by a bear or something. But the Lord gave me this, love and serve God, love and serve people, share God with people. And in those two things, we see the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and we'll come to that in a moment. But this is a great strapline I've adopted for my life, and I hope we have adopted it as a church. The lost, well, let's say it together, the lost shall be saved. The saved shall be pastored. The pastored shall be discipled, and the discipled sent. That's a good thought, isn't it? If you get a hold of that, you want to get involved in that, because this is the challenge of our lives. Let's look at the next slide, and let's read this great thing. We'll stand for this, because this is the word of God. Let's give it respect, the respect it deserves. Shall we? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all mind, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the Lord and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So love and serve God, love and serve. Let's look at the next one. Stay on your feet. Sorry. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Please be seated. Thank you. I tell you, in the Bible days, they would stand up for the reading of the word. That's why I think it's a good way of showing respect to God's word. And we see, friends, the first C in our enlargement, let's dive into it, community. Those outside the walls, those inside the walls. We have a huge responsibility. And if you're just visiting, I know somebody's just visiting us, so somehow just visiting today, you can take this back to your church. It's a great idea to focus on those outside, to help them outside the walls. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Not just some, all people. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of ugly out there. So let's love them. Let's love them as Jesus tells us to, and help them. You see, our God, though he chose you, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you been sharing your faith today? Have you been sharing your faith this week? I tell you, the people out there, they're just desperate for someone to go to them with the truth, to share their lives with them. I know that, Lord. I know that, folks, today. And remember this, let us, say us, us. It's not just for the pastor or the evangelist or the elder to do. This is us. We're in this together to show this wonderful goodness of God to others as well. Hello, child. Stay there. Okay. So God wants us to transform our community. That's why he's put us here. He wants us to be salt and light. And we could, the only way we can do that is to be in it. And our community might be around the church. Our community might be around our home. It might be where we work, where we play, where we shop, where we swim. It could be anywhere where you move. And it's great in our church to try and help people. I came on Thursday evening, and this place was full of people. And some of the people, a number of the people, I'd never seen before. But they were in this house, enjoying the food that you, generous people, are serving and giving to them. It's great. The schools are coming in. We had, I think it was 400 children in December in this place over 5 days. 400 children hearing the good news of Christmas. And we need to go to them. We're going to schools. The schools are coming in to learn guitars. Townwide events are so important. You so well supported the gathering of the townwide when we met for the first time, church-wide in the town since COVID. So that was great. And there'll be more of that this year. Support it. There's a prayer meeting once a month. And I don't think anybody from Hebron was there this week. But there you are. The challenge is, start praying together with the church in the town. And I tell you, we'll see good things. Would somebody answer that phone, please? We are believing that 10 schools can be visited this year by the message. We're hoping this will happen. Margaret Smith was telling me about it. And then we'd have a massive celebration with those young people as they hear the gospel in the evening. Community inside, because we could go on about outside, reaching the outsiders. But what about inside? Galatians 6, because there's no 10, that would be heretical. But inside the walls. Let's read this together. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we've looked outside. Let's look inside for a moment, because this is the vision in 2024 for us. Say us. Us. We've got to do good stuff to each other because it's commanded by the Lord. Hebron, we need each other. Life together isn't something we just do on Sunday mornings. Life together. In the early church, wow, when there was a move of God, it was like daily people gathered for prayer. Daily they gathered for the apostles' doctrine. Daily they met one with another for the breaking of bread and fellowship. Life together. When people get saved, we need to nurture them. Do you know that? We can't just expect people to come to faith and you're on your own now. No, it doesn't work like that. We have to help them. We have to feed them. So can you help nurture someone? The lost saved, the saved pastored. We need to pastor them, give them some milk of the word to help them. Are you willing to do that this year? Because if we're believing God to enlarge the house, it means more people come in. And if 50 people come in this year, 50 new converts, not just new people coming from elsewhere, but 50 new people, they're going to need nurturing. They're going to need milk, the milk of the word. And they're going to need your help. Home groups are the building blocks of Hebron. We need them. We've heard it advertised. Get to them if you're not in. We were hoping they would go from 5 to 7, but we also, the Nepalese meet together during the week as well. So I suppose we've got 6 if we count the Nepalese as well, which we do. And I believe there's going to be increase. Already we've been told that a home is available and another leader is available. So we can actually go to 6 very soon. So please be ready. And I trust you are the sort of person who never stops learning. I read an article the other day about this. Never stop learning and growing. It quoted Eccles and it said, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 13. Wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. And I want you to know that as a church, we equip, we train people, and we'll be doing some equipping and training this year. And if we can't do that equipping and training, we'll get someone in to help us. And if they can't do it or we can't get them in, the Assemblies of God are there as an apostolic movement to help us with teaching and instruction and lots of other prophetic things. And this is what I read. It has been said the most important skill you can acquire is learning to learn. Gifted people can sometimes act like they know it all, which makes it hard for them to keep growing. Teachability isn't so much about competence and mental capacity as it is about attitude. It's an innate hunger to grow. It's a willingness to learn, unlearn, and relearn. A famous football coach, John Wooden, said, "It's what you learn after you know it all that counts." I love that. Only as you remain teachable will you keep growing and continue to make an impact on the world around you. Lifelong learning is an ongoing daily pursuit. The Roman scholar Cato the Elder started studying Greek at 80 years old. When asked why he was tackling such a difficult task at his age, he replied, "It's the earliest age I have left." Unlike Cato, many of us regard learning as an event instead of a lifelong process. I used to hear when I was at my previous church, we're in the university of life. I love that. I love that. We need to be teachable. We, as disciples, have got to teach people to obey. Yeah? It doesn't come natural. The flesh is still there. As Wes has told us, we still sin. We still want to do our own thing. But we are told, commanded by Jesus, to go and make disciples and teach them to obey. It's estimated that only 1/3 of adults read an entire book after leaving school. Let's have a show of... No, we won't. Why? Because they view education as a period in life, not a way of life. Science confirms that while your physical body may atrophy, your mind retains much of its capacity for continued growth. Every stage of your life presents lessons to be learned. You can choose to be teachable and keep on learning, or you can close your mind and stop growing. Wow. And now, in this church, we want to equip people. But don't come to me if you want to learn the guitar. Go to James. He's teaching people to learn the guitar. Yeah, and there'll be others who can help you with keyboards and other things, flutes. And I can't do that. I can help you with other things. So let's go to the right people at the right time. Great. We see this is so important. Development of the pastoral care team. We need more people to be caring for the sheep, caring, visitors. Would you like to be a visitor to help people when they're missing? They might be ill, they might be in hospital. Would you be willing to give up some time to do that sort of thing? So that's the first very important thought. Then the second C is commitment. Let's say commitment. Commitment. Commitment to God and commitment to each other. You know, there are 59 one another's in the Bible. Have you read them all? Are you doing them all? Oh, and the biggest one is love one another. They all issue out of that, don't they? Commitment. The Lord says, enlarge your house. What does he say? Enlarge your house. He's not saying, I will enlarge your house. You enlarge your house. He's given you a responsibility. He's sovereign. He'll save him. He will save. But listen, you don't know who he's going to save. You don't know who is going to enlarge and help. So to God, let there be a development this year in your prayer life like you've never seen before. Oh, I'm so excited because I'm going to do some teaching on prayer this year. Because some of you just don't do it. Or you're not doing it as often as you should. Or you don't bother coming to corporate prayer gatherings when it's necessary. We are doing 40 days of prayer and fasting at the moment. So thank you for those who are fasting. I tell you what, you can tell the difference in your own life if you're fasting and praying. It sharpens your spiritual cutting edge, especially in the area of evangelism. I'm telling you, it will strengthen you. But that we do have prayer warriors, and some of you are so amazing, you just leave me behind when you pray. I'm like, wow, Lord, let me be with them. I love to be with some of you because I know you're there in the heavenlies, you're worshipping the King, you're praying. And it's not all about asking. You just have such a relationship with God. Is that you this morning? Are you helping others? You see, leaders like Dave and I need Aaron's and hers as they held up Moses' hand, and we need people to hold our hands up as we lead this church. Otherwise, we'll just come up with good ideas. But when you pray for us, we'll come up with God revelation. And that army, that Amalekite army, that army of tiredness that gets on so many people in the church, it's in the world, we expect that. But not when it comes in the church. That tiredness will be off you as we lift our hands to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner, because he's already won the battle for over tiredness, over complacency and sleepiness in the church. So commitment to enlarge the house, to God, your prayer development, your study of the Word of God. We've got Bible teachers here who want to help you go deeper and dig deeper in the Word of God, in learning how to fast. We've got 40 days of prayer and fasting, and I did a talk on fasting. I announced it, and 12 people turned up for that. Do you not want to learn why you're fasting? If you are fasting, because I know some of you were fasting, but you didn't come to learn why we fast. We need to grow in grace. There needs to be a commitment to God. You see, Jesus said, Pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth laborers. Guess what I'm praying? That's my big prayer. Lord of the harvest, owner of this harvest. We need not volunteers in this church. We need harvest hands. Don't leave everything to those who are full-time or paid laborers. Don't think they can do it all. No, they can't. And they don't. And the paid laborers need to do more, actually, than they should do that they're paid for. But listen, we are here not as laborers or volunteers. We are laborers, those who are willing to work to the point of exhaustion. But he who works within us will revive our hearts and stir us up. You know, I can go to a prayer meeting feeling absolutely shattered. Oh, I don't feel like going out. It's cold, it's snowy, it's icy, it's dangerous. I don't really want to go. But when I go, when I do it, when I meet with some, even one other person to pray, I tell you, I get enlarged. My heart is enlarged because I'm committed to God. I'm committed to my brother, my sister. They're committed to me. And you know what? I feel better after that hour of prayer than I did before I went in. And then I'm ready to save the world. I'm ready. So come on, get inspired, friends, by committing yourself to what God tells us to be committed to. And he said, pray the Lord of the harvest. And then he says, go. Don't wait for other people to go. You go. This week, let's go. Let's go as we go into the world. Let's naturally share the beautiful truth about our gorgeous, beautiful Savior who died for us. Are you not boasting to someone about that this week? Because I will be. You can't shut me up. Once I start talking to them, I don't care who's in that sauna, they're going to get the gospel. And they did yesterday. Hallelujah. Two people from Huddersfield. I thought, I've got to give them the whole gospel. They're from Huddersfield. It's a one-night stand in the hotel. So I might never see them again. So I told them where to find a really good church in Huddersfield. They knew where it was. She'd even been there. How good was that? And she said, it's interesting. Young people are getting interested in church again. I don't know this girl. She doesn't go to church. But she said, young people are getting interested in church again. Get your feelers out there. See what God's doing out there, because people are desperate. They're without hope. They need help. Oh, wow. Commitment, friends, to enlarge your house. Are you ready? You know, if 50 new converts came in this year, are you ready, Hebron? Are we ready for the revival that God wants to bring to us, to this church? When people come in, are you ready? Are you ready? And then to each other, Acts 2:42. Every believer was fully devoted to following the teachings of the apostle. If you're a believer, you should be fully devoted to the apostle's teaching. There should be an innate hunger in you for the word of God, to study the word, not just do your daily readings. Let's get beyond that, friends. Let's get deeper into the word of God than we've ever been before. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion. We've done that this morning. Well done, folks, for coming to share communion and coming together regularly for prayer. We're doing it, friends. We've prayed together today. How important that is. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's so much that I will be sharing this year. We need, friends, to really touch something in God. Because when God touches the body in a supernatural way, when the Holy Spirit comes and has his way in a church, and we fulfill those 59 one another's, you know what happens? There's not a needy person amongst us. It says in chapter 4 of Acts that they had everything in common. Wow, 21st century church, everything in common. We know revivals come to us when the word of God is fulfilled in the practical things of life. The poor you'll always have with you, Jesus said. But in his church, in that early church, there was no poor. Hallelujah, because they loved one another, especially the household of faith. I want to say about commitment, I'm committed to you fully. Dave is fully committed to you. We've taught this through. And we know that you're committed to us. But most of you, committed to us. We're committed to our leaders and we expect them and they're committed to us. But be committed to your team leader, whether they're really good or rubbish. It doesn't matter if they're appointed, they're there to be respected and help them to become better at what they do than what they do at this time. Oh, friends, we need to be fully committed to respect one another in this way. We've got a membership class, a partnership class coming up in the next few weeks. I'd love those who have never been on it to come to that because you'll understand more of the vision and more of my heart and you will see what Hebron is about. We'll have several hours together where we'll eat together and enjoy the word of God together. And then we do maturity and ministry classes. We do mission classes. I've got a couple in the church not here today. I think they were unwell yesterday. They were hoping to do an outreach yesterday. But let's be supportive of evangelists. And when they go out into the town, you might not want to get hold of a microphone and speak, but why not support? Be rent a crowd, be there. Somebody you might stand next to could need you and your prayer and a word of knowledge. Goes a long way, especially when you're out there witnessing amongst the lost. And they'll be doing some training on evangelism. So if you don't know how to witness, how to evangelize, these guys will help you. After Easter, we're going to do the Alpha Course. I'm looking forward to the Alpha Course. I love the Alpha Course. We're doing it in the prison. Thank you for your prayers. 15 prisoners came to our Alpha Course on Monday. And I'm expecting another 5 this Monday, tomorrow. So pray. The guy who was leading it was ill. His wife was ill. So guess who led it? No, it wasn't me. I've got a team and another guy who's a volunteer chaplain. And we've got a new volunteer chaplain. And they're fully trained to help these people with evangelism. But I tell you, if you're not really involved in anything, why not get involved in the Alpha Course? We're doing it after Easter. Sign up as soon as you can. Maybe you can cook. Maybe you could just welcome people there. You could just be in the discussion group. You don't have to say anything. Just be next to somebody who is looking and searching for God or for faith in these days. The Alpha Course, it's an ideal opportunity for those not in ministry at the moment. Will you sign up to any of these things? See Julie, our administrator. She will take your name gladly. And we are grateful. We're grateful for those. We have so many people already taking part in this church. And I'm grateful for every one of you. And there's room for others to help. It'd be great to have a whole team of Alpha people who are not doing anything at the moment in the church. Wouldn't that be great? And you're just committed for 6 or 7 weeks. That's it. It's all right. And it's not every day. It's just one day a week for 7 weeks. It will do you the world of good just to minister. This is so very important. Last April, a guy called Andrew Murray came to this church. I love Andrew Murray. And he's going to come again, hopefully. I've not booked him yet, but he likes to come to us as well. He enjoys it. Dave keeps in touch with it. It's brilliant. But he challenged the leaders, about 30 of us. And he said, leaders, what does the Great Commission say? You are to make disciples. It's not just for leaders. Who are you discipling, he said? 2, 3? You should at least be doing 1. Who are you discipling? This is the challenge for you today. I ask you, are you ready to be challenged? Who are you making into a disciple? And I thought, well, as a pastor, I'm doing that all the time. I'm doing that now. And the Lord was convicting him. He said, no, David, you need to train. You need something more. And then out of the blue, a missionary came from Ecuador called Dr. Michael Mills with a book called Arise Mighty Army with a system of discipleship that I'd never seen before. And I don't like systems because you think this could be man-made. But then I thought, have you ever looked up at night? Have you ever studied science and what's it called? Astrophysics? I don't know what it is. Astronomy. We're not the only ones. We're not the only planet, are we? You know, there's a solar. What is it? A solar? Oh, God has systems. Ah, sometimes we forget that. And here, we've started already launching this system of discipleship, making disciples. You see, I've made disciples, but am I making disciples who make disciples? I am now. I'm telling you, I'm doing it this year. You will see it, and there will be an increase, and there will be addition and multiplication. Because Joseph named his son Manasseh because he wanted addition. Hallelujah. But I'd like a bit of Abraham who saw multiplication in Jesus' name. David, you need to get on with this. This is important, but this is so important. I share this with you. Imagine what God could do this year. But thank you to those who are already committed. Way beyond. You've got people so committed here. I come here. I was here last night preparing for today. And there's a brother cleaning the church for us. Fantastic. Commitment to the house. People, and if I don't mention you today, please, I'm thanking everyone who's committed to the house, committed to each other. I appreciate it. And the Lord said in Psalm 133, blessed are the brethren who dwell together in unity. For the Lord commands the blessing. Have you ever wondered why Hebron's a blessed church? It's because we're in unity, because of God's grace in our hearts and lives. Leaders Connect, 3 times a year. We do this. We invite people to come and help us. Do get along. Thank you for those who attend Assemblies of God. You've seen the bulletin this week. There's stuff to go to in Assemblies of God, because sometimes we haven't got that gifting, and we need apostolic and prophetic input into the body, and sometimes we need to go and receive it and come. I've never been to a conference where, oh, that was boring. That was a waste of time. If I've gone with an open heart, when I've gone out of a sense of drudgery, I've got to do this, I'm a pastor, I have to attend these jolly meetings, I've got nothing. But when I've gone with a desire, an innate hunger for the word of God, it comes to me. And I tell you, we should never stop learning. I've got another quotation for you, or reading. Never stop learning and growing, part 2. It was in the word for today. I don't read the word for today, but I just came across this, and it suits what I'm saying. Quoting Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Who would like some wisdom? Wisdom from God. To keep learning and growing, you must recognize these 2 things. 1, successful people view learning differently than unsuccessful people. Joshua learned from, show me that you're with me, yeah, Moses. Timothy learned from Paul. Who have you chosen to learn from? Because you should be learning from someone. Hallelujah. Because you never stop learning. Sidney J. Harris wrote, a winner knows how much he still has to learn, even when he is considered an expert by others. A loser wants to be considered an expert by others before he has learned enough to know how little he knows. It's all a matter of attitude. It's truly remarkable how much a person has to learn before he or she realizes how little they know. As I started training for the ministry, I decided to visit John Ryland's library, because I thought I was pretty clever. I thought I knew a lot of stuff. And I looked around and I looked at these books. I looked at these subjects that I'd never even heard of, and there's volumes on them. And it blew my mind that I know so little. And the more I know about God, it seems to be the less I know, because there's more to know, if you know what I mean. And secondly, he says, nothing is interesting if you're not interested. Did you get that? So if you're not interested, it's not going to be interesting. But I believe there are people here this morning. You're interested, aren't you? You are interested in what God wants for this church. Philip B. Crosby writes, there is a theory of human behavior that says people subconsciously retard their own intellectual growth. They come to rely on cliches and habits. Once they reach the age of personal comfort with the world, they stop learning and their mind runs on idle for the rest of their days. They may progress organizationally, they may be ambitious and eager, and they may even work night and day, but they learn no more. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to this. This is God who became a man, and he became a baby in the womb of Jesus. And it says this, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you what it says. He didn't just grow. He didn't just grow physically. He grew spiritually. He grew mentally and emotionally. It's a tragedy, friends, when you let yourself get into a rut and never climb out of it. I remember a missionary saying, a rut is an open-ended grave. And he was actually in Kenya. And he saw this sign as he got out of the city limits and into the sort of countryside area. He said, choose your route because you'll be in it for the next 40 miles. Friends, are you ready? Are you ready to get out of your rut that you're in? They are enthused. Let's be teachable, because God can use us if we're teachable. People who are teachable, they are enthusiastic about things. They're interested in discovering, discussing, applying, and increasing. So never stop learning. Never stop growing. That's why I go to the home group, because I'm learning. Every time I go, I learn. It might be just one atom of truth, but it blesses me. And I've increased, enlarged my heart and my ministry from others. Then, thirdly, see, my goal for each member of Hebron is for you to be living out that God-given role that God placed in you before time began. Did you know that? You're his masterpiece. He's still working on you as he's working on me. But celebration. Celebration of God, who he is, and celebration of each other. This is so important. Psalm 68, verse 4 says, let them sing their celebration songs for the coming of the cloud rider, whose name is Yah. Paul says to the Philippian church, 4:4, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. Isn't that good news? Oh, Romans 12, verse 15 says, celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who weep. Some of us wept with Tina on Friday at the memorial service of her son, Chad, 40-something years of age, lost out this, but came to know the Lord at the end, at the very end of his life, last minute. So I spoke on the thief on the cross who was there receiving the life-giving message of Jesus. Today you will be with me in paradise. And now we're celebrating today because Tina's here and she's not weeping today. She's rejoicing in the goodness, celebrating together. Thank you, band, musicians, singers, all those engaged in helping us to come into the presence of God with the song. And even the children lift their hands in praise and worship to our God. You see, God, let's celebrate him, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do, singing, learning about his names. I pray for about half an hour just quoting the names of God. He knows them already. I wasn't informing God, but it was for me, really. I was being a bit greedy in this prayer, but just enjoying Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, he's a great and a mighty God. And we see, friends, we praise him. We celebrate his creator. Do you celebrate creation? Have you been to Wardle Reservoir recently? I feel as though I'm in the Lake District when I go there. Even the Hollingworth Lake, you just ignore all the other stuff, but you just can see God's creation is great. And we know God used men to create that lake. That's okay, but you see the beauty. They didn't make the water, and they didn't make the stars at night or the sun that shines. He did all that. But before he started creating, he was redeeming. It says the son was slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Let's celebrate. We've celebrated the cross. Thanks, Wes, for leading us to the cross again. We need to keep coming back to the cross, celebrating, not mourning all the time. There is a time for mourning, isn't there? But a time of celebration around the word of God, around the cross. But what about, let me just quote this beautiful verse or verses in Ephesians 5. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can tell people who are celebrating Jesus because they're bubbly. They're bubbling over with enthusiasm. They're bubbling over with the word of the Lord. They're bubbling over with the Spirit of God. Celebrate the new initiatives, the meals that are being given out here. That's great for the community. The luncheon club that Steve and Julie and others are doing. Fantastic. Let's celebrate what God's doing. The compassion. Last week we heard this church is giving thousands to poor kids and giving them a step up in life, a bit of education, a Bible, a church thing. Wonderful, wonderful truths going into their lives. Celebrate the welcome you receive from Eddie and Julie and the stewardship team. Celebrate them. Yeah, let's have shout-outs. And I know some of you don't like shout-outs, but let's have some whisper-outs then. You know what I mean? If just make sure somebody is rejoicing and celebrating the goodness of God inside the walls, outside the walls, whatever. Under Aqua, the Sunday school grew from 2 to 3 after COVID sort of hindered us a lot. We got back to where we were before, and we're going to see increase there. Oh, it's great to see more people coming out of the comfort zones. Oh, let's celebrate. Can we, in closing, celebrate age? Is that okay? I want to celebrate age this morning. If you like this, it's from David. If you don't like it, it's from David Hodkinson. He sent it to me. If you like it, it's from me. Okay. And Jonathan Conroth sent it to him. And it's from Bob Fierty. So with a name like that, it's got to be good. A study found, are you listening? That the most productive age in human life in the US is 60 to 70 years old. Come on. The second is from 70 to 80. Yeah. And the third is from 50 to 60. You youngsters, come on, get your act together. Look forward to old age because it can be so productive. The average age of Nobel Prize winners is 62. Of CEOs of prominent companies is 63. Of pastors of the 100 largest churches in the US is 71. Come on, some of you, we're just spring chickens yet, aren't we? Come on, the best is yet to be. I won't mention popes. But a book review, also published in New England, said found at age 60, you reach the top of your potential. And listen, John, and this continues into your 80s. How good is that? That's why we've got such agile and wonderful older folks in this church. Therefore, if you are 60 to 70 or 70 to 80, you may have the best and second best opportunity in your life to produce meaningful accomplishments that can leave a lasting, positive legacy. Make it count for Jesus. Isn't that great? Celebrate old age. Celebrate youth. Celebrate middle age. All those in between you, middle aged. So bless you. You don't want to admit to it, but it's the truth. And I'm going to close because I've gone on too long, but two very important things. It was going to be a bit longer, this study. Two important things for you to pray about and be committed to. You see, if you have a vision from God, it's going to be costly, and you have to do something about it. Abraham, he was a withered old man in certain areas, and his wife was past childbearing, but they trusted God and made love, and guess what happened? Wow. Wow. It's said about old age, didn't I tell you? But Abraham said there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard. So may the spirit of generosity come upon this church for these two things. We're looking to employ a trainee pastor because I am getting older. Dave's getting older than me. And and we're looking to pass on the baton, and we're believing for God. So what we're doing, the trustees and the elders have come together and we've said, each month now, we're going to put aside 2 days' wage a week out of the general offerings. So that means I've got to up my offering a little bit more to help with this other important aspect. We're also hoping our funding team have got us tens of thousands, perhaps over 100,000. I don't know how much we should add it up. Loads and loads of lolly. Well, thank you funding team, you're great. Tell Jill she's great. She's still not too well, but let's pray that this team will get together, because they're going to try and get 3 days from Christian Charities for this important work. And we'll advertise this in the summer. Trainee pastor, he will not be taking, or she will not be taking over me in the summer. Ah, you've realized what I've said about age today. I'm just getting into my prime. Come on. But we do need to work beyond, because I might drop dead tomorrow, because God might say, you know, I want you home. So I'm ready, but I hope he doesn't. I hope, because I feel as though we've got work to do. So there we are. So pray about that. And we'll be advertising the jobs, once we've got the job spec and everything, in the summer, internally first, because that'd be great, and externally, because that could be great. I don't know. What I do know, as I was praying about this, and Dave and I were praying about it, we felt God tell us that that person's already preparing right now. That God's getting them ready. As he was getting me ready for this place 34 years ago, it's God getting us ready very soon. And then the extension at the back there. We've got plans. We need new building regulations. But what I'm going to do is get a team who are cleverer than me in this particular area, and I'm thankful for them. I'm going to get them together. They don't know it yet, but so we can cast the vision of that extension, the reasons for it, etc., etc. So we'll be having that vision offering after the 21st of March. Later on in the year, we'll have it, but before then, we'll be getting together, and after the 21st of March, we will be presenting that vision for extension. I also want to pray today for baptisms in the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the only way we're going to get this job done that God's given us to do is to be filled with his Spirit. We can't do this in the flesh. We'll fail miserably. But if we do it in the Spirit, we will see souls being saved. We'll see the lost being saved, the saved being pastored, the pastored being discipled, and the discipled being sent. The cycle continues. How good is this news I'm sharing with you? Because we are Pentecostal, we are prophetic, and plus we're going to have some water baptisms very soon, in the next few weeks, ready. What I want us to do now is pray this prayer. Can we stand? And then the band can come up whilst we could sing it, but I don't know the tune. But whatever we're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision or something like that. Doesn't have to be that one, but if you can get it. Can we pray this prayer of Jabez? I preached on it last week. I don't think it was recorded, unfortunately, but you can have my notes. When I say, start with me at O. Is that okay? Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. He did. And I put us there. That's not for the United States. That's for Hebron. Okay, because sometimes we pray this individually, and I do. But why not pray it together as a body of believers with faith that our territory will be enlarged this year in a way that it's never happened before. So let's say it again, but let's make it plural, okay? Some plurality in the church in the right way. Oh, that you would bless us and enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will be free from pain. And God granted our request. Thank you for praying that this morning. Keep believing for increase and for the glory of God. God bless you.